Everybody, we are here, we are there, we are everywhere. This is The War Room. I'm your co-host, Trevor Truitt. It's been a long time since we've been in here, but I'm not here alone over the phone on this somber day. Mr. Jared Cornelius, how are you holding up?
Well, as we all know, the past few days have just been fucking horrible. We lost our beloved Ozzy Osbourne, the rock, king of rock and roll, the prince of darkness, the heavy metal god himself, my favorite artist of all time, my favorite singer, my favorite band. The thing is, he was 76, battling Parkinson's. You know, we got to see him at his Back to the Beginning final farewell show with Black Sabbath and all those other bands that literally wouldn't exist without him and Black Sabbath sperm. But, it was literally just like watching a bunch of, you know, your kids, you know, play music that you created. But, it would not be a joke or a gag to say that I've probably cried like 20 times if you consider tears coming out of your eyes due to sadness crying. I don't think I've ever had an artist or musician a celebrity ever like actually affect me like that, which, you know, Kobe dying, that was probably number one for me all time, just because he was only like 41 or something, and he just retired. And also, you know, when figures that huge as they go, it's hard to believe, you know what I mean? But this is one that it's like one of your family members going, you know, eventually you'll stop crying all the time about it, but, you know, it's the pain of that'll never really go away, I guess, but, you know. Luckily, and I was talking to Cam about this, and one thing that makes me feel good about it is, like I said, Black Sabbath's my favorite band ever, and it got nothing to do with generational anything, you know what I mean? I've been listening to them since I can remember, and, you know, their first album came out in 1970, it's over 55 years, it's 55 years ago, and we still talk about it to this day. People still, like, there's going to be someone from all of this that's going to go listen to that first Black Sabbath album and go down the rabbit hole, which I think is the best rabbit hole behind Led Zeppelin's rabbit hole, personally. But, and just no matter what generation, no matter how old you are, no matter what, the music speaks to everyone the same if it does speak to you. And, I'm telling you, man, everyone around the world, if they love him the way that I do, then they're fucking crying and hurting and they're rolling on the floor, screaming at the sky, you know. I haven't been doing that, but I've been wanting to, I will say. I've been at work and just been, like, trying to do my job, and then I just want to, like, fall to the ground. I kind of like that scene in Ray. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
Racist to watch that. Okay. Well, you know that part whenever he's trying to quit heroin and he's like getting up from the bed and he's all sweaty and he's like crying and shit? That's how I felt the last couple days. But you know, and you know what, I'm very glad that I spent my whole Saturday, July 5th, I believe it was, for that Back to the Beginning concert, I spent my whole day watching and celebrating his legacy with some of my favorite bands. I'm telling you, that show was literally like if I got to, you know, create, you know, just
a
like
show,
they've got to be. It's just one of those things where it's like, holy shit, this is like dream booking here. Like, you never would expect it. And, you know, going back and watching, like, I was a wreck that whole day. You know, I can't even hear the song Changes. Now, if it comes on the radio, I skip it like it's a song I hate, which I don't. It just, there's songs that, like, make me sad or emotional, whatever you want to call it, and I try not to listen to them.
Oh, I mean, when
all the
when you listen to or when and just listen to that, because I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but I saw a lot of clips and I watched a ton of videos from it, and just hearing him sing "Mama, I'm Coming Home" is just
god. Oh my god.
Like, it's just, talk about just wreck you.
That song, I mean, I don't know why it does, but that song reminds me of my mom. I don't know why that song, but, you know, I wonder why that song reminds me of my mom, you know? I'm joking.
Sure. Yeah, I figured it out.
I know, but, and that just, and also, I don't think I've ever seen Ozzy cry or be sad. I mean, you know, he's always just been a super,
yeah, he's just
upbeat, positive
crazy,
guy. But
yeah,
going back and rewatching those clips, I think he must have known that was it. You know, really, I guess, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, I think he knew was, because I mean, from what I heard, or is that, I guess, he, all the medicine that he was on, he didn't take any of it, so he could be as much of himself as he could up there, which they said he's going through insane pain by not taking any of that medicine. So,
and that's what I think we were just talking about this, and you know, and I am glad he got to do that, and I'm glad he made it through and was able to, you know, do that show. And see, I know that's what he wants to do more than anything, is he wanted, like I was saying, he would still be out on tour.
Oh yeah,
taking a new young band out to open for him, like he's done for 40 years. You know, like that's, Parkinson's is a horrible, horrible disease, and I hope that neither you or I or anybody out there listening ever has to, you know, deal with it, or have, you know, watch someone, you know, deal with it. You know, I guess it sucks, because I mean, hearing Ozzy describe it, he said, you know, my brain is still there, but my body is just like, it won't listen to my head, like my brain. And it's terrible, because, you know, I don't think Ozzy died doing what he loved. I think he was robbed and his hand was forced. And I think that's the thing that makes me the most sad. But, you know, on the brighter side, everyone has a fucking expiration date. Everyone punches their ticket. His was just due, you know, sad. That's the thing. That's how you know it's sad and, you know, he was beloved. Because a lot of the times whenever almost 80-year-old celebrities die, it's just like, oh, he lived a great life. No, dude, I'm telling you, Ozzy's one of those guys where it's like, you didn't ever think
he's
going to
die.
You never thought you'd hear the day. It's like, wait, he died?
It was one of those things. It's like, you know, like there's only a few people that everybody has, like celebrity wise or people that they admire like that you're like, man, when that person goes, that's going to be tough. You know what I mean? And it's like, you never think it's going to happen, but then it does, obviously.
Well, you know, and I've been saying this to a lot of people. I've been forcing people to listen to me talk about Ozzy Osbourne.
I'll kill myself right now.
I told Cam, listen to me or I'll kill myself right now. You listen to me. I've got a gun to my head.
You want to help me out? You want to make me better? Sit in that chair.
Listen to me.
1982.
Right now. Oh, hell no! But anyway, sorry. What was I saying? Been talking to people, Ozzy. Oh, what I've been telling people, like, because I've been thinking about, like, oh, what did I love the most about him?
Yeah.
And, you know, the music, his style, because I love his singing style. You know, I love all that, the vibe. What I love the most and why I'm, And it took him dying and reflecting on it to think about it. Dude, he never made me ashamed of being his fan. He never did anything that made me go, God damn it, now I gotta not tell people that I'm a fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
He never said the N-word. He never beat his wife. He never raped anybody. He never molested. He never, you know, any of that. You never know scandals.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, he did drugs and he...
He was just a party guy. He just liked to fucking party.
Vibes.
Like, yeah, he might show his ass every now and then, literally, but hey, I mean,
it's all good vibes.
Yeah.
He was never like that's the thing, everyone talks about his drug problems, it's never like, what a dark period. It's more like just like, no, he just did it.
Yeah, he was just fucking living life. And I mean, especially back then, everybody was doing it then. So it's like, if you weren't, then, you know, people are looking at you funny.
That's what you take away from that? Everybody was doing it. So if you didn't, you'd look weird. No, I think a lot of the times when you hear about artists, celebrities, musicians with their drug problems, it's always like a movie, a biopic. Whenever they start doing drugs, it always gives that part where it's like dark and the fun times. And that's what would be great about an Ozzy movie. I don't think it would ever really be that. It would just be fun.
Well, and like you said, I mean, he had his wife by his side the whole time. You know what I mean? So it's not like he was, you know. I mean, they were just partying together. Like, it was just Ozzy.
Yeah, so many of my favorite he's responsible for my favorite thing ever, and that's my favorite music / band. Like, you know, it's just, and music is my favorite thing in the world. And I'll say it right now, I would trade the NFL, the WWE, all of it for, you know, my favorite music. Music just means, you know, in a world without music isn't a world worth living in my opinion. And, you know, it sucks when your favorites go, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, the world's definitely not cooler. You know, the world's a little bit more, and it's always going to, because, you know, I've seen this young flock of musicians coming up, and we're fucked. There's not going to be any new Ozzy Osbournes, because I think all these people that, you know, the funny thing is, like, everyone's always all like, oh, this guy's a lot like Ozzy, and it never has anything to do with the music. It's always like, oh, this guy
pisses
his pants on stage.
It's like this guy in Nebraska trying to be like Mahomes. Like, he's not as good as him. He just dresses like him to the T.
Well, and like I said, like, it's just, it's always like, oh, he acts like this and he says that. I'm like, well, is his music good? Is their music good? Like, because that's the thing. Ozzy made great music. And along with the antics, which the thing is, it was like super genuine coming from him because it was believable. And I think that's the part that no one that's ever... He's one of one, dude. There's never going to be another one.
No.
And I think that I'm fortunate to have lived, you know, on the planet for the 27 years, for the last 27 years of his life. You know, that's, I feel fortunate. I'm grateful. I mean, since I literally was in my mom's womb, I've been listening to him. And, because they wouldn't turn it down. I used to ask. I used to bang on the roof. It wouldn't turn it down.
Hey, turn it down, will you? It's a little loud.
Yeah, they thought I was just kicking to be cute, but I was kicking to get them to turn it down. You know what I mean? But trying to sleep in here, Ma. But, but dude, I grew up watching the Osbournes reality TV show. I grew up, like, you know what's cool is, like, my dad, which, you know, he's a huge Ozzy fan. I haven't even spoke to him yet. I have not. I don't think he went to a cave for...
Oh, yeah, he fucking doesn't know his tic-tac-toe fucking password or whatever.
Yeah, he locked himself out of his phone. But, you know, now he's using Ozzy's death as an excuse.
And then now he's never going to use a phone. He'll be stubborn. He'll never get a phone. He's just going to revert back.
Yep, nope, never doing a phone again. He's going to live another 40 years and not have a fucking phone. Because this one thing happened where he, like, I don't know, he did a swastika as his pattern and he can't remember how to do it correctly.
Why was I being racist at that time? Set my password.
What an idiot. Why? He sucks with technology. I don't know why he was like, oh, you know what? I should do a pattern. like, privacy thing. I'm like, why would you do that? You need to not have a lock on your phone at all.
At all, yeah.
As possible. Yeah, but, you know, that's my, you know.
If anything, it needs to be voice activated where you can go, open, open!
Yeah, dude, like, but you know what's funny? He won't stop getting Androids, and every time he does, it's just, like, the shittiest phone, dog. Like, I'm sorry, anybody out there
with an Android, get your fucking money up, pussy. Like, get a fucking, like, get an iPhone. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you have an Android out there, it sounds like your phone fell in a toilet every time I talk on the phone with you. So, take that into consideration next time you want to fucking be cool or try to think you're being cool and buying an Android. One thing you buy a hardy pants afterwards, you fucking... I'm just kidding out there. If anybody has an Android and you took that personally, I'm sorry. But, you know, I'm just saying. Anyway, going back to, I don't know what I'm saying. But my dad, when I grew up, I knew, like, I didn't, like, my dad, like, he loves Black Sabbath, obviously. And if you ask him, he'll give it up and everything. But I think deep down, my dad loved Ozzy solo, like his solo stuff. Which I don't want to speak for him and say that to be true, but when I grew up, he was listening to Ozzy solo. Now, that might have been because, you know, Ozzy was still putting music out in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Whenever I was a kid. So my dad would always buy every CD he put out all throughout the late 90s and 2000s. So I was still listening to,
Jarvis, you son of a bitch.
What was I saying, Trevor?
If you think your dad likes his solo stuff more.
His solo stuff, yeah. Because when I grew up, it was like, that's mostly what he would listen to. So I wasn't, like, super familiar with Black Sabbath until, like, I don't know, maybe fourth, fifth grade, whenever Guitar Hero 3 came out. And I think Paranoid was on that game. And then fucking obviously, like, and you know, everyone, you know, it's funny. When I grew up, everyone was always like, oh, Iron Man is such an overplayed song. And I'm just like,
just because of Guitar Hero. That's the only reason why people are fucking saying that.
It wasn't even on Guitar Hero.
It was on one of them. I don't remember what it was, but.
I might have been, but
I mean, that's just sometimes songs are overplayed, but you have to get over that and be like, it's still a good song though. Like one of my favorites from Ozzy's is Over the Mountain. I mean, that fucking song just from the start goes hard.
I wish they played that song more. I don't think if anybody ever said that's overplayed, I'd be like, did you just get out of a time machine in 1982? Fucking get out of here. But dude, like, so what I love the most about Black Sabbath is, like, I always grew up knowing about Ozzy from the live concert DVDs my dad had and listening to his albums. But I remember listening to Paranoid. It was the first song I ever heard by Black Sabbath. And it was because of Guitar Hero 3. And I was like, who's Black Sabbath? And my dad was like, oh, that's Ozzy's original band. And I was like, original band? What the fuck are you talking about? And, you know, he kind of laid it down for me. And I was like, all right. And I remember I only got into the album Paranoid with, like, War Pigs, you know, stuff like that. I didn't get into their whole catalog until later.
Yeah.
But that's what, you know, whenever you discover, like, you feel like you discovered a band on your own and you fall in love with it organically. That's one of the best feelings. And that was, you know, around 2016, 2017, like around when I was, because the thing is, when I was going to UCO for college, whenever I would drive back to Fort Gibson from Edmond to Fort Gibson, like every other weekend, sometimes it was every weekend. And I would just put a Black Sabbath album on and listen to it the whole way home. And, you know, that's how I learned about Sweet Leaf and Lord of This World. That whole Master Reality album, when I first heard that album, Into the Void, all that shit, like, it changed my life. Like, it fucking, you know, that, them and Led Zeppelin are the two bands I love more than, and AC/DC. They're my three of the four pillars that I have to think about it, but Sabbath, because Ozzy and just, you know, those collection of guys, a Tony Iommi, Bill, Geezer, like, it's just my favorite band ever, and just a joy getting to start from scratch with them and really dive in, start from the beginning, and just listen to all their shit. Every album sounds different. They invented like 8 different genres of metal without even really trying. They were just, yeah. You know, but it all sounds like them. And that's what makes them, I think they're the greatest band ever. I think front, top to bottom, front man, you know, talent of the musicians and the tightness, the chemistry, I just, legacy, like, as much as everyone loves Led Zeppelin, what genre of music did they create? I love Led Zeppelin, but, you know, what genre did they create?
Yeah.
They didn't create metal. They didn't create stoner metal. They didn't create sludge metal. They didn't create heavy metal. They didn't create death metal, any of that. Like, that's... I mean, other than, I guess, the Rolling Stones, just because, like, they're 85 and they're still like, we're going on our 202nd world tour, celebrating our 70th anniversary of our first album. But, I don't know. I feel like I'm just talking about Ozzy at this point, which is probably most of what this is going to be about. But, man, it's just, I tell you, it's just absolutely devastating. That's all I can say. I'm just devastated. You almost don't even want to believe it.
No, I mean, and I, like I said, like, I knew, like, after his, after the final concert, they're like, you know, I honestly was like, all right, he's probably going to die, like, in the next year or two. I did not think it was going to be, like, you know, 2 weeks later. I mean, it was literally just like, I guess telling you, it was just like a, somebody you know who's worked, you know, their whole life, and they don't retire, and they fucking work till they're, like, 85 or 90, and then as soon as they retire, they just die because they're just, like, they've just done that their whole life, their body's programmed to do that the whole life. That's what they, you know, most of the time it's what they enjoy to do. It's what makes them happy. So whenever you, like, you know, I think that he just knew that, like, this is the final hurrah. Like, this is the last time that I'm going to be out here and be able to do this and put on a show like that. And I think it just, you know, after,
well,
that.
You know, I was talking to Cam about that, and I was like, you know, he probably did that show. You can see in his face how happy he was, even just if he couldn't stand just sitting there. It's like, that's the thing he loved to do the most. And I think once he realized it really was, like, he's never going to do it again. And he's probably just like, what's the point of living? Like, you know, yeah. he probably just let go and was like, I don't give a fuck if I die or not anymore. Because if I can't do that, then I don't want to be alive. And That's the saddest thing about it. And that's the saddest thing about getting older and, you know, having to deal with age and the health problems that come along with it. You know what I mean? It's just, you just kind of hope that you can live to be 150. Like me, I hope I live to be like 150, but I still kind of look good whenever I'm 150. You know what I mean?
Still doing. We're still doing.
That's what I hope happens.
Still doing the War Room podcast.
I don't care if everyone I know and love dies. Oh, yeah, longest running podcast ever. It'll be like The Simpsons. No one's going to be able to break it. My co-host died 60 years ago. Dude, imagine being 150 and then you say that. Like, oh, 60 years ago, like, you'd be 90. Imagine being 90, thinking, man, I could go at any minute, and you live another 60 years.
Yeah, that would be insane, like...
Like, your wife died 20 years ago.
Probably more than that. Like, probably 60 years ago. Like, if you're 150.
That's insane. Like, dude, imagine your wife died when you're 75 and then you lived 150. That's another 75 years. That's crazy. Your wife dies halfway through your life and that's when you're 75. That's like some fucking biblical shit. Yeah. I think that's what happened to Moses. That'd be insane.
Were you ever married? Yeah, I was 75 years ago. Wow, how long were you married? We were married for 50 years. Fucking what?
Damn.
How old are you? 148. Still, you know, the government's still letting you drive, too. Fucking.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not 150, and I'm just like, staring at the ceiling with my mouth wide open at all times, you know? Like I can't talk. It would literally probably just look like a skeleton driving at that point.
Yeah.
My God, dude. It's just... I might have to start doing therapy. I might have to find a therapist and talk to you about my problems, you know? I was in a house fire in sixth grade, but Ozzy's death was just traumatizing.
Way more, yeah. That was nothing. I'd rather have 10 house fires.
I lived in a hotel for 9 months of my life. I did this, did that, but God. Ozzy dying at 76. It's just I don't know how I'm going to recover. And then Trevor's going to want to take up the back half of this beautiful tribute to Ozzy to talk about fucking racist-ass Hulk Hogan. I'm just kidding. But, yeah, I mean, dude, this week's crazy. We got Hulk Hogan died, you know, and I'm telling you, people that grew up in the 80s, they're devastated right now.
Oh, I mean, yeah, especially, like, people that were kids in the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like...
Hulk Hogan... Fucking Ozzy, the guy from the fucking Cosby Show, their parents drowned while on vacation, which is like, dude, drowning on vacation. Even like, I feel immortal on vacation. I don't even feel like it's possible. It just goes to show you that you can't do things that you normally wouldn't do.
Like swim?
Yeah, I mean, no, you can't like get hammered and just be floating down the ocean when a riptide's coming in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been a...
I don't know.
It's just a tough week, fucking Hulk Hogan, man. It's just... Like, when I didn't... I mean, it's crazy, because like a month ago, there was like a death, fake death thing on him, but the death hoax. So, like, when somebody said it in the group chat, I was like, no fucking way. So I, like, looked it up, and I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Like, you know, I guess, like, you know, there's a lot of stuff, you know, that wasn't good in his life, but as far as what he impacted for WWE and wrestling today, I mean, back in the 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s, I mean, he was wrestling. Like, that was wrestling. That was the guy who fucking had those massive crowds out there and was in Japan and had everybody was Hulk Hogan fans. And even all the way up, it's crazy because two nights ago, I was literally watching... I watched SummerSlam 2005, Shawn Michaels versus Hulk Hogan, whenever Shawn Michaels turned heel and kicked him. And that's just crazy to go from that to fucking dying, which, I mean, obviously, I'm sure he obviously he had some health issues himself. But,
Go from getting kicked by Shawn Michaels in SummerSlam to dying.
But, I mean, just some of his moments.
I
mean,
just
some of his moments of... Obviously, him picking up Andre the Giant. I mean, WrestleMania 18 versus The Rock. Still one of my favorite matches today, just because the amount of aura and just atmosphere. Just when they're in the middle of the ring in that face-off when it first starts, and just all those back when everybody had fucking actual cameras, and all the flashes going off, and you're just like this is that was you know, one of those matches you never thought you would see. And, I mean, and Hulk Hogan was still in good shape then. I mean, he was in good shape for a while. But, yeah, it sucks.
I mean, for a 71-year-old, he looked pretty good, if you ask me. I mean, I hope I look like that at 71.
Yeah. It just sucks to go from,
I didn't realize he, like, he must have had something, like, crazy happen or something, because I didn't even realize he was, like, sick or anything.
I know that he had had some issues here and there, but for what I thought he was all right, and then all of a sudden, just boom. But, yeah, no, I mean, and, yeah, I mean, just, you know, growing up as a wrestling fan, even if you didn't, you know, obviously we didn't grow up watching him in his prime, Hulk Hogan, but, you know, that's one of those guys, once you do a deep dive into wrestling, that's, you can't,
well,
you know what I mean, you can't.
I'm not trying to be an asshole about the whole prime thing, but, I mean, I watched him wrestle for a good amount of time, and, I mean, he did the same shit he did in the early days. You know, he just looked the same. It's not like it affected his athlete. The way that he, the one thing I'll say about his wrestling style, which he doesn't get a lot of love for, is he created a character that he could wrestle into almost the 60s with the same moveset and still have the same crowd getters and shit. You know what I mean? Like when I watched him, it wasn't like watching an old man. Like, the same thing with Ric Flair. Even when he was older.
Yeah, no, I mean, they just had a style that lasted a long time. It's like Tom Brady, you know what I mean? He played a certain way where he protected himself and he held up and he had a longer career than majority of people. So, he was so good. Like, the wrestling was the last thing you thought of, really, because of how big his character was. He was great on the mic. I mean, he had the best heel turn in history ever. I mean,
he did. Until John Cena.
The only reason I give it, because I that is a debate, and I think that in 10 years it could be debated more after time's passed, but I just think that the pure shock where, like, nobody wanted Hulk to, you know, turn heel. Everybody kind of, like, wanted John Cena. They wanted it to happen, and hoped that would happen.
Yes, but that's the thing. Whenever Cena came back for his farewell tour, reason why I give it to Cena is because in today's age, when you can't even bring a wrestler back without it being spoiled by some nerd on the internet 2 weeks before, the fact that nobody saw it coming, nobody called it, nobody, you know, like, I haven't been that shocked since I was a child watching wrestling. Like, I was genuinely like, what are you doing, John?
It's like I said, it's definitely debatable, but I mean, it just,
and I think he's doing it fabulously.
I think so too. I think he's fixing
that. Mad that he's not wrestling all the time. He's making, like, he's having to do, because, like, at first people were like, we don't care if he's in the deal, we still love him, we're going to still cheer for him. So you gotta start doing shit to make people.
Yeah,
you gotta
start pissing him off. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He's gonna ruin wrestling. So, like, and like people, some people are like, also, you know, it's like some people get mad and they talk shit. But I'm like, anything you say about the guy is good. Like, if it's bad shit, he's making you talk. That's the object. That's what a lot of beginning wrestling fans don't understand.
Right now.
Oh yeah, I think they're about to pull off one of the. I think they're gonna pull off the biggest double turn. In history, possibly. I think Cody's gonna go heel, and I think John Cena's gonna come face. And I think we might
What I think's gonna happen is, now look, I don't think John Cena's last match is gonna be when he says it is. I think he's gonna wrestle WrestleMania, in my opinion. Or what's gonna end up happening is, either Cena's gonna retire when he says he does, Cody Rhodes will fight him then, or whatever, and get the belt back, yada yada yada. But what I think is going to happen is Cody's going to defeat John Cena and, you know, and then The Rock, his final boss character, is finally going to be, like, come to fruition. And I think it'll be Cody versus The Rock at WrestleMania or, you know, like I said, John Cena's fights at WrestleMania and then, I don't know, The Rock comes out and I don't know. Or Cena's gonna fight The Rock for the championship. I don't know. I can see that happening.
I think it's SummerSlam.
I don't know why Cody and Cena are fighting so early. I think they should have.
Because I think that I think they're about to. I think they're gonna change the belt. I think Cody's. I think that it's a street fight, and I think The Rock might come out at SummerSlam, offer it to Cody again. He takes it this time. He takes the belt from Cena, he raises it up, he turns heel with The Rock, then John Cena is back to a face, and I don't know where it goes from there, but that's actually next weekend. It's going to be the first, that's the first SummerSlam that's two nights also. So that's going
to
be...
I don't know, this whole final boss thing is going to have to mean something eventually.
He's got to commit to it, or he's got like one more chance before he really pisses me off. Because the whole whether it was him or the fact that he just wasn't at WrestleMania, I don't understand why you would show up at Elimination Chamber, do that whole fucking charade, and then you send goofy ass Travis Scott to run out. I mean, that just like it was. The match wasn't bad, and the thing that pisses me off is night two was so good, Every match was so good. Even Cody versus John Cena. It wasn't the caliber of last year's WrestleMania. Sure, still a good match. But then you get that ending, and it just shits on the whole show where you're like, what the fuck was that? Like, what? It's like you watched a movie for 2 hours and 50 minutes, and there was 10 minutes left, and then it was just like, what the fuck?
It turns out aliens are...
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck? Like, you guys, it's been alien. This is a Western. This is a Western we're watching, and there's aliens? What the fuck are we talking about here?
Like, it's like you're watching a John Wayne movie, and then all of a sudden a fucking UFO...
Yeah,
on the fucking plane.
And it just ends.
Like, what?
It just ends. Like, John Wayne dies, aliens kill him, and that's it. And you're like, what the fuck did I just watch?
It's like a Forrest Gump sequel where he goes to space.
Mama like, never told me you couldn't breathe up here.
Whenever they said I was going to space, I said, how do you do that? I thought space occupies an area. The one time he's smart. I don't know. I'm not gonna lie. I don't like the Travis Scott intervention just because it's like, okay, well, in the real world, unless he has a gun,
yeah, you're getting your ass kicked.
Cody Rhodes would probably kick Travis Scott's ass.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that was supposed to be, but
well, I think he was supposed to. From what I've read and found out, is he was supposed to be training after that. And it was supposed to result in a match at SummerSlam, supposedly, or before. And it was going to be John Cena, Travis Scott, and Cody Rhodes, and somebody else. I remember who it was. It was supposed to be the match. But instead of that place, they got, supposedly, they got Jelly Roll to fill that spot after he's lost like 200 pounds.
Jesus. Yeah, I saw that. I think that match would have been great. You know why? I think it would have been great at turning or making Cena's a bigger heel, because a lot of people didn't like the match, and that's what made me like it, because it was John Cena just dicking Cody around the whole time.
Yeah, it was the opposite of what John Cena's done, because a lot of times in those title matches, John Cena got his ass kicked for fucking 90% of it.
Back.
Yeah.
And he has to do his big power up, and he's like it's like Hulk Hogan. It's
yeah,
like,
it literally, yeah. Yeah.
He's finally getting it, you know, but like this time he just embarrassed Cody, and I think it should have just been an anticlimactic ending where it's just like, damn, Cena really just fucked him up. That's what it should have been like, you know, everyone's hero just got destroyed by evil John Cena. And I think you end WrestleMania like that, it makes people hate John Cena because it's like, wow, he really phoned that in, didn't he?
Yeah, because that's the thing is, like, some people, fuck it, everybody thinks that it's got to end in a happy ending. And I'm like, listen, wrestling's a fucking love story. It doesn't always end. Like, when we went and watched it in Tulsa, it ended with Seth Rollins and them out there ending on, like,
CM Punk.
Yeah.
CM Punk won his match, and then Seth Rollins and his boys came out
and
beat him up.
And then held it. So then, like, when, like, my neighbor, he went to it too, and he was talking about, like, oh, kind of a bad ending. I'm like, dude, you got to realize, like, sometimes you're going to go to a live event, and you're not going to get a good ending every single time. I mean, that's part of the story. Like, you're just a little section of the story that happened there. So
that's what gets people to come back next week.
Yeah, because you want that guy to win. You know, one of the best description ever. Is, I don't know if you've ever heard it, but it's Jim Cornette, and he's talking about pro wrestling, and he's like, hey, you're driving on the highway, and you see two guys fighting, so you get out, and you see this little guy, he's just getting the shit beat out of him the whole time, and you just feel sorry for him, and then all of a sudden, the little guy starts beating up the big guy, and you're cheering for him, and the next thing you know, you'll pay $5 to see that, and he's like, and that's what wrestling is, like.
Yeah, no, for sure, he's talking about wrestling with the passion of a fucking a guy that lives with his mother because he's got learning disabilities or something. That's the kindest way I could say it. He loves wrestling. But he's right. I mean, that's literally what wrestling was built on. A guy your size beating me up. You know what I mean? Like, it's supposed to be like, oh, it's supposed to be like, oh, there's no way. He's never going to do it. And then you get the ass kicked the whole time. And then he finally triumphs, and it's David versus Goliath. That's literally what it is. It's got to be. That's why the big guys were always the champions. They were always the bad guys. You know, Big Show versus Rey Mysterio. Like, that's that's what it was all built on. And I do like it now where, I mean, some people might have liked it better with, like, weight classes. I kind of like that anybody can fight anybody. I mean, watching Rey Mysterio fight the Drake Holly was pretty wild. Yeah.
It just his whole run. His whole run from winning the Rumble and then winning the title. That was a great run. WrestleMania 22 and the Triple Threat match. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think whenever it comes to with wrestling, there's way more like not happy endings than there are happy endings. You know what I mean? Like, it's gonna be way more, and but that's what keeps you, if it's always
keeps you going.
Like, well, I don't have to worry about the ending because I know it's all gonna be all right. Like, it can't be like that. That's gonna be like the Batman show from fucking the 1960s.
Yeah.
Where it's like, don't worry. He's going to catch him. He catches him every time. Like, you know, it's not... Unless the
it's not like Scooby-Doo, but, you know, they're going to get the bad guy and they're going to pull his fuck, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, Scooby's not going to get his head chopped off. And we, you know, it's not like Scooby's going to get shot and we have to find out next week if he's going to make it, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I mean, like, one of the ones I always go back to is when the Big Show threw Kurt Angle off, like, a fucking 20-foot fucking thing, and he was just, when they panned to him, he's laying on the floor with blood running out the back of his head, and they just end the show.
Yeah, I remember as a kid, I was like, oh my God, he killed him.
That and then fucking the Great Khali, or was it the Great Khali or Big
and
Show?
Rey Mysterio,
yeah.
Like, fucking
squeezing
his
head.
And made blood start coming out of his mouth. I was like, yeah,
oh, what a, I mean, just, and you know, right,
that show ended too.
Just right now, like in the guessing, like, I'll give it to WWE with the booking, they've done a really good job of, there's so much phony information now that you don't even know what's true and people are trying to spoil it, but they've done a real good job of like, people are like, is Seth Rollins actually injured? Is he not in? You know what I mean? Like, the fact that that's debatable. I mean, they've done a good job with that.
Well, that's what I was telling Cam. Like, it's hard to know if that's a work or not. But, like, to me, I don't see the point. I really don't, because they were just doing this huge push to pay him for the leader of his gang, and without him the gang is kind of pointless.
The only way I see it is if he comes back at SummerSlam and they're just going for the shock value, because I mean he has the biggest heist in WrestleMania history where he comes out and beats Brock and Roman, and so if
Punk, so what, is Triple H like lying on his behalf and he's in on it with Seth Rollins on his, like,
if they were doing that, that'd be crazy. It's like the R-Truth thing. Everybody's like, did he get released? Did he not get released? Did fucking R single-handedly Tulsa, Oklahoma, BOK Center bring R-Truth back? Like,
well, I'm pretty sure R-Truth actually was fired, and I think they brought him back because of popular demand.
See, that's what I love about the WWE today, because, you know, Vince, he created it all. He did all that stuff, and he had his run. But if Vince was going to do it, he was going to do it. He's not going to fucking ask, you know, if he wants to do something, he's going to do it. Triple H, those guys, they take, all right, the fucking crowd is going crazy for this guy. We'd be stupid not to bring him back. So, they bring him back. They listen to the fans.
What are they paying R-Truth? Like, minimum wage? Like, why you can't afford to keep him around? I mean,
well, the thing is, at the time they fucking fired him, he had the top-selling t-shirt.
Well, and he's a fan favorite.
Yeah.
He's always the locker room loves him. Like, he's been doing really good work the last couple years. Like, why get rid of him?
Well, and it's crazy that he was in a title match, you know, a month before that. And you know what I mean? And then he's released. So I think.
He was tag team champion.
Yeah.
Not long ago.
Yeah.
He's been doing really good work, and like I said, like, you can't tell me that it's not like he was doing dark matches only.
No.
You know?
I mean, he's been, for the past, I'd say, good 3 years, he's been even with the 24/7 title.
I'd say like 5 years.
I was going to say, even with the 24/7 title, I mean, he, you know, made it interesting. He held it the most times. I mean, when he was involved in Judgment Day, of being a Judgment Day, not being a Judgment Day, like, that was comical, that was funny. He's also a damn good worker, and he'll do just about anything.
I mean, he's a lot like Chris Jericho if you think about it. Like, he knows.
He's also like almost 60 or something. He's fucking old too. He doesn't look like it either.
He's only like he's 54, I think.
Still, I mean, you know what I mean, like.
Like, and he looks great. He's still moving good.
Yeah.
He's got good character work. Like, I don't know. I don't see any. I don't see why you would. You know, I'll tell you what. If he was to have been released and not re-signed, I bet he would have ended up somewhere else.
Oh, for sure.
A lot of other promotions would love to have him.
For sure.
So, and he's been with the WWE so long. Why would you, like, want to get rid of him? Like,
yeah.
It's a legacy thing. Oh, no!
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I do think SummerSlam is gonna be good. I'm pretty pumped up for it. I mean, you're gonna have two banger main events. You're gonna have Cena and Rhodes, and you're gonna have CM Punk versus Gunther.
What do you think about the Goldberg Gunther match?
So okay. Yeah, let me get to this, because there's a couple of narratives I'd like to touch on this. So I thought that it was the best match I've seen Goldberg have since coming into WWE 20 years ago. He wrestled as long as he's wrestled in 20 years. I thought the match itself was pretty good. I thought Goldberg,
he
looked a lot better than he did. The jackhammer looked 1,000 times better than it did, and Gunther sold it way better. What I don't like is you fucking getting chopped in the chest as hard as you can and not reacting to it, because that, you know, it's just like, but Goldberg's always been a guy who he's the fucking man. He's the guy. In every match, he's been the man. He's been the dominator. So, like, him putting somebody over, it's almost not even in him, because he's never had to fucking do it. So, like, I thought that they did really good. I thought the show was built around him. I thought everything was good. It was Saturday night's main event. He got a quote-unquote title shot. I mean, it was believable. I think it would have been even more believable if Seth Rollins doesn't get injured there. I think it's even more believable that maybe he wins and then Seth Rollins cashes in. So I thought WWE did a great job on that. And I think Goldberg is a cocksucker for saying that he thought that he didn't go out. The only thing that I think is bullshit, and this is, I don't think it's WWE's fault. I think it's because they're on NBC and they can't control the network because they don't have Netflix and whatever. But you can't cut the guy off when he's doing his fucking retirement speech. Let's get to the late night news after this. Nobody gives a fuck about anything you have to say, okay? Like, you can't give the guy 2 minutes. He fucking, you know, he poured his heart out in this business. Yeah, he's kind of an asshole. He is an asshole. But that part, I thought, okay, what the fuck are we doing? Give the guy 2 minutes to fucking.
I
bet
it was Bret Hart.
Yeah. But what I didn't like, so I would accept him just being mad at that. But him being mad because, well, I wanted it to be at a pay-per-view and I didn't really. But also, I think it's kind of a cocksucking move that you act like you're from fucking Atlanta, Georgia. You were born in Tulsa, yeah. Oklahoma, you fucking cocksucker. Okay?
Yeah.
So, fuck you for that. But also, like, I thought WWE did a good job, minus the end. But Goldberg, sometimes he's a guy. Him and Bret Hart, really, you know, as much as they hate each other, they're really a lot alike, okay?
Oh, yeah, that's literally what I was about to say. Like, they hate each other because they're so much alike.
Yeah, like, so, you know, they gave you, listen, Goldberg, you hadn't been there in fucking 5 years, and the last 10 years of matches that you had collectively were ass, okay? And you got to fight the big guys all the time. So the fact that we know who you are, we know what your name carries, we know what you did, but the fact that they let you come in, not wrestle anybody else, and just hope that you were ready to go to the spotlight of Saturday night's main event that may not be a pay-per-view, but they've been trying to build it back up to what it used to be. They let you have that spotlight. They let you have a title match. They let you do all this stuff in Atlanta, Georgia. And then you're going to be like, well, you know, they didn't fucking... Shut up, okay? So, yeah, I think WWE did a good job, minus the ending, which, like I said, I don't think it was in their hands. And I think that Goldberg needs to be.
They could have just not given him a retirement match.
You know? Exactly. They could. Here's the thing. They didn't really fucking need to, because what had they seen that was like, oh, we can. You know what I mean? But I thought the match was good, and I think that Goldberg needs.
I was gonna say, I think it's the best one I've seen him have in a long time.
I think so. Like I said, I think it was since he faced fucking Triple H or The Rock way back. You know. So, I mean, I think the match was good. I think Goldberg needs to be a little bit more appreciative and not be a cocksucker, because you're like, let's be honest, you're not even in the, I wouldn't even, I could name 25 wrestlers that are better than you right now, maybe 50. Your character itself, sure. Did you have the best streak ever? Sure. Actually, Andre the Giant did. But did you have one of the best streaks ever? Sure. And were you, you were a badass in your prime? Sure, you were, but you weren't, your career wasn't built off of what you could do in the ring. It was built off of what your character was, how intimidating you were, the character you played, the voice you had, and you were just a, you're just a badass in the ring. Like, you're gonna, you got 5 minutes and you're gonna fucking give it your all, and you're gonna probably beat the shit out of whoever you're wrestling. But it needs to be a little bit more appreciative, in my, in my opinion, because he didn't, they didn't have to do shit for him.
Yeah, I mean, as again, as far as like the character, he wasn't in there to beat Kurt Angle. He was in there to kick your ass, and
yeah,
you know, he's supposed to be unstoppable, and I'm, you know, so you kind of have to have him be a certain kind of way. But you know, he was one of my favorites growing up, because just because the energy and the, how aggressive he was, and you know.
Oh, and he's a classic. Classic WCW character, you know what I mean? Like, WCW had those guys, they were like, it's like WWE's more like superstars, and WCW to me was more like super villains, superheroes. Like, those were characters they were playing really, really there.
I mean, Goldberg looked really good with the big gold World Heavyweight Championship belt. He looked great with it.
And I mean, he was a guy that, like, that, talk about, that's a, I mean, whenever he lost, you were like, what? I thought this guy was never going to lose.
I'd also like to say, I think Undertaker's WrestleMania streak is also better than Goldberg's streak.
I mean, yeah, I'd say, especially, like, the last, because, like, the first couple, there were some matches that Undertaker had, we were like, we're kind of some no-namers, not no-namers, but just bum wrestlers, I would say. But once he got to the last half, I mean, it was just filled with fucking...
It's still a WrestleMania match.
Well, yeah. No, I'm just saying, once he got to the last half...
Championship matches against really good people. A lot of those Goldberg, like, whenever he was 100, whatever, 20...
Yeah, he was just beating Joe Schmoes, yeah.
A lot of those guys were fucking, you know, guys that looked like you in a wrestling singlet. Your name was, like, the Bean Masher or something. I don't fucking know.
I'm here to mash your beans!
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean, I could understand that, but yeah. He's just like him and Bret Hart. Like I said, as much as they hate each other, they're the same fucking person.
They're so much alike. It's crazy. Like every time I hear them talk, like they're just like, oh my god, you guys are just so whiny.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, they, you know, like you never. It's two guys you never hear how thankful they are for the fans, for the business, for what people did. But you never hear that from them. Every other, you know, you hear it from fucking John Cena. You hear it from The Rock. You hear it from Stone Cold. You know what I mean? When you hear it from the guys that are like the top guys, that are the guys, Mount Rushmore guys saying that, and you don't think you got enough, it's like, I don't know what to tell you, man. You're just lucky to be there. You're lucky to be the guy you had.
To be fair, Hulk Hogan did step on Bret Hart a lot. He stepped on him a lot.
I mean, yeah.
So I can understand the saltiness, but to me, it's kind of like Dave Mustaine with Megadeth. It's like, dude, let it go. Yeah, Metallica fired you when you guys, you know what I mean? Like, let it go. It's over.
Yeah.
It worked out for the best in the end. So just shut up about it. Like, let it go. Like, that's the thing. It's like, Bret Hart, listen, a lot of people still consider you one of the best, if not the best, like, technical wrestlers ever. Like, you get your props. People recognize how great you were. And, you know, and if it was just, like, one of those things where people acknowledged how you got fucked over and it wasn't coming from you all the time.
Yeah, when you're the person that's whining about it just over and over and how you got screwed.
People stop giving a fuck. It's like, okay, yeah, we get it. It's just like, dude, listen. You listen to someone talk about, you know, oh, my dad died 6 years ago. Like, you're going to stop giving, you're going to start giving a fuck less and less and less.
Yeah.
You're going to always be like, oh, man, I'm sorry. You know, you're not going to always be like that. At some point, you're going to be like, come on, man, get it together.
Well, the thing is, it's like, he just act like he didn't, you didn't get fired. Like, it's like he never looks at it from the other perspective. I'm like, you literally didn't want to give up the WWF champion to somebody. You didn't want to give it to Shawn Michaels because, you know, you didn't like him and you're going to WCW and you wanted to take it with you. Why in the fuck, in any way, shape, or form, especially when they're in the middle of a fucking war of, like, trying to knock each other out of business, do you think that they'd be like, yeah, sure, you can go ahead and win and we'll just fucking let you take the title to another show? That's a terrible idea! Like...
Well, I understand. Well, he was trying to fuck Vince over because,
yeah,
you know, Vince probably tried to put a finger in his ass one time.
I mean, he probably did, but it's just like, you know, that's something that, like, it happens and you're like, yeah, I get, like, yeah, I'm pissed off at him that he did it, but I get why he did it. You know what I mean? Like, all right, I get it. Like, yeah, probably not a good idea for me to potentially, because, I mean, Vince is thinking the worst. He's thinking this guy's going to literally take the belt and go to WCW and, like, burn it on fucking live TV.
Well, yeah, well, and obviously, I understand what you're saying. You know, yeah, Vince wasn't going to let it happen, but I know why Brett was trying to go out on his terms from the company and, you know, be able to flip Vince off while he did it.
Yeah.
And Vince was like, yeah, I'll give you a match, but you're not leaving my company with my belt to go to my rival. So I understand that, but, like, you know, to be fair, and I hate saying it because I'm kind of like a little Bret Hart myself, but I truly do think he got kind of fucked over, and I think a lot of it was because during the time of his ascension as a star and as a, you know, a big part of that company in the late 80s, early 90s, Hulk Hogan wasn't putting anyone over.
No, he definitely wasn't. Yeah.
He had a stranglehold on fucking the WWE. He was the guy. There was no room for anyone else. And, you know, and that's just like, that's whenever The Undertaker came around. And I get stars like Stone Cold and The Rock are emerging. And Hulk Hogan still wants to, you know, be the only one that gets to eat. And, you know, after a while, you know, I think, to me personally, from all my nerdy wrestling lore and how I understand things to have happened, Hulk Hogan should have dropped the title to Bret Hart whenever Vince wanted him to, instead of whining and bitching about it. And Bret, like, he should have put Bret over, and Bret should have been the guy. And Hulk Hogan, and, you know, because that's where, I think that's the one thing Hulk didn't do well in the business, was learn how to, like, kind of like what Randy Orton is doing. You think Randy Orton's crying because he's not in the world title picture every single week? No.
Yeah.
Like, if the wrestling business will chew you up and spit you out, it happens to everybody. And, like, you have to learn how to, like, R-Truth, he's 54, but guess what? He still has a job because he does good work and he knows where he's needed and he knows how to be, like, to stay relevant in enough way to, you know, justify getting paid. So you can't tell me Hulk Hogan couldn't still be a guy you can put in big matches to, you know, have a draw without, like, putting, like, if it wasn't for Stone Cold and The Rock coming around the time Hulk Hogan ended up, because that's the thing, Hulk Hogan stomping on Bret Hart's ascension and, you know, not putting him over, he ended up going to WCW also. That's the thing that pisses me off. He could have just fucking done it. He ended up leaving not long after anyway. And but guess what, Trevor, and you know this, if it wasn't for The Rock and Stone Cold and The Undertaker and all that group, like, dude, the WWE would have been ruined because Hulk Hogan, it's kind of like China right now. Whenever their president, whenever Xi Jinping dies, guess what? There's no one to take his place because he's made it impossible for there to be a guy to take over after he's gone. So Hulk Hogan not putting any of these fucking guys over and just hold and, you know, eating all on his own, could have put the WWE in a really bad spot where it didn't have their next guy to ride into the future with. Like, you know, when Michael Jordan retires, NBA lucks out, LeBron gets drafted literally the year he retires.
there's been 20, still counting, 22 years of LeBron and having a guy like that. Bret Hart easily could have been that guy. Now, on Bret's end, he did have a huge ego. He really cared more about himself and all that, you know, whatever. And, you know, he's got a big mouth, and I imagine it wasn't any better back when he was in shape and could kick your ass, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I just think it's a complicated situation, but to me, like, even me and you talking about it now, this whole subject has been talked to death. It's been talked about to death to where you just start rolling your eyes because it's like, yeah, Brad, we get it. Okay, you got screwed over the Montreal job. Yeah. Fucking Vince did this. Vince did that. Hulk Hogan. Now, to be fair, I think Vince gets a lot of shit when I think a lot of it was he was hamstringed by Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, if I mean, Hulk he had Hogan so much, did want he to do so much power.
If Hulk Hogan did want to do something, they weren't going to do it. Like, Vince told Hulk Hogan, you're gonna drop the belt to Bret in a match, in a really tight match. And Hulk Hogan was like, I don't like that, brother. Like, he didn't like the idea, like, he didn't want to do it. And so Vince McMahon told Bret, all right, never mind, you're not going to beat Hulk Hogan. And Bret's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I will say, being the champion back then was a big deal because it meant you got paid more.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
you were
going to
make more money for being the champion in the face of the company. And Hulk Hogan was making significantly more money than anybody else that worked there because he was the only, like, big face of the company for fucking years because he made it that way. And, like, I'm not maligning Hulk Hogan. He did what he had to do. I mean, in a way, I mean, like I said, he's like the Beatles.
He just learned he just didn't want to give it up till a little bit too late. And then he forced Vince's hand to be like, all right, like, you know.
I mean, but do you not agree with me that him getting to the point where he'd had a really great run and he could have been more of like a, you know, like I said, a Randy Orton is now, where he's just a seasoned vet who can still get in there and do good work, but he's great for...
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he just did that too late in his career kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, when he came back to the WWE.
Well, in the early 90s, like, the whole Yokozuna thing, which I think is one of the worst WrestleMania endings ever as well. I just think, like, that, for example, it's like, yeah, okay, we'll let Bret win in the main event, and then we'll have Hulk Hogan come out and, or we'll have whatever this happened, and then we'll have Hulk Hogan come out and save Bret Hart. It's just like, that's gay. Like, come on. I just think the fact, like, but don't you agree, like, Hulk Hogan, like, him eventually going to WCW, like, literally a couple years after that whole, like, I'm not giving the title up to him. Like, isn't that kind of just, like, what the fuck?
He was
only looking out for himself.
Yeah, like, and then whenever he, his hand was forced of, like, all right, this is what you're going to have to do, like, you're not that guy anymore, then it's like, all right, well, I'm leaving. Like, I'm going to go be the guy somewhere else.
You know, if Vince would have learned then, Hulk Hogan could have left and the WWE would have been fine.
I think it was probably that when Vince McMahon took over the company from his dad, Hulk Hogan was his first guy. That was the guy that fucking got him off the ground from where they were and just took him to where they were. So he probably felt somewhat that he owed him so much. But then it got to a certain point where he's like, all right, like, I've let you have it for this long, man. Like, we got to, you know, the show goes on. Somebody else has got to step up, and you got to make room for other people. So.
I just think, I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to sound like I'm maligning Hulk Hogan and make like he was an asshole. But, you know, Bret Hart, it all just ties into, like, Bret Hart, you know, constantly not being grateful and all this. Well, you know, I understand to an extent because I don't think he had as good of an experience with the WWE as a lot of other people have. And that's because he didn't kiss ass. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. And whether that's because, you know, he did his own thing or because of ego, I don't know. I'm just saying, he probably didn't have as good of an experience, and that's because that he was never able to progress the way he should have. And I'm saying should have because he was great, he should have been bigger than he was. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, I've heard it from people not Bret Hart. I've heard Jim Ross and Cornette and all these guys talk about it. They're just all like, Hogan wouldn't put anyone over. Like, he wasn't going to put Bret Hart over. Like, he wasn't going to put anyone over, especially Bret Hart. And that's what the issue was. The fact that, and literally, if anyone wants to dispute that, go look and see how WCW ended up turning out whenever Hulk Hogan got the call to shots.
Yeah.
Like, literally, dude. Like, it's just like...
Well, then you just paired him with another idiot, Vince Russo, who thought he was the opposite of McMahon, where he thought he could hold on to Hulk Hogan, and he could make him, you know, live forever, and he could do all this forever. Well, at some point, it ends for everybody. You know, you gotta... In the wrestling business, you can't just... You know, once... And that's the thing, is, like, what's changed so much is now it's a good thing to be, like a Roman Reigns, where, like, he doesn't need the belt. CM Punk, he doesn't need the belt. Seth Rollins, he doesn't need the belt. You know what I mean? Those are guys who, they can make stuff happen. They can make stories interesting without the belt. And once you get to that level, that's, to me, when you're a proven great wrestler.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a good argument to say that I don't know if Hulk Hogan, for all that time, could have stayed as relevant without the championship. Because I don't think, like, obviously his character was great, but, like,
I think that's not true. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think he could have just because
he didn't feel he would.
Yeah, that could be true. I think that maybe he and Vince, and I think that could be why Vince held it on him so long, because he thought, shit, what if I take it off of him and they don't like this guy?
Still can't believe the fact that he had him lose to the Ultimate Warrior, but he wouldn't make him lose to Bret Hart. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I think maybe just character.
I like the Ultimate Warrior. The Ultimate Warrior kind of sucked.
I think maybe it was just character-wise, because Warrior was a character guy. He was a rah-rah. Bret Hart's not actively trying to get the fans to cheer him. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't give a fuck. It was kind of his persona.
First of all, the Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan is a great example of how not to book. Because it's just like, dude, these guys can't wrestle each other. They're the same kind of guy, and the Ultimate Warrior is not.
They're
as
both
good as
fucking.
Hulk Hogan.
That's probably why Brock Lesnar versus fucking Goldberg didn't work.
Because I watched like the top 10 biggest wrestling matches in WrestleMania history, and I remember that was on the list. Which is funny, a lot of Hulk Hogan's matches were on that list, but I remember watching it. It's like a 5-minute match. It's really not even that long of a match either. And I also thought the Ultimate Warrior had like a super lame finisher, the fucking frogs, the mini splash thing he did while you're on your stomach. I was like, what the hell? But he's a lot like Goldberg in the sense where it's just like the fucking energy that dude brought. It's just like, oh my God. Like, it makes you want to run through a wall. But
that's why he fucking died 2 days after he returned to WWE after fucking years, because he probably did what he was doing back then and his body couldn't handle because he'd done it in a while.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was on blow and
steroids
too, so I mean, that's, I don't know. I just think, Bret Hart, and I'm not trying to defend the guy. I think he whines too much. I think you should let it go. It's not like he wasn't successful, and, you know, the WWE, it's not like they didn't try to make it right, but I just think there's a point where it comes to, there's no such thing as making it right to Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Like, so it's a bad combinations of ego, of different egos. And you know, when you got a guy that refuses to forgive and forget or move on from something, you know, it kind of just makes it, it's like a tire stuck in the mud. Like, all you're doing is repeating why you're upset, but, you know, Bret Hart could choose to let it go and move on and make peace. And he could have been come back with the WWE and been have a role in the company and whatever. But he even has shit to say about Triple H. I don't think Triple H has ever come up with anything good before. So, I don't know, maybe he's some kind of a genius and I just don't know it or something. I was like, dude, fucking, do you like anybody?
I know, it's like literally like that's once you realize that like 95% of what he's gonna say is just negative, you're like, dude, this guy sucks. Like, not like actually, but like to listen to, this guy sucks. Like,
you know, he sucks as a person because it's just like, God, what a bummer.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like hanging out with Ted Nugent. Like, it's just like, oh my God, okay,
yeah.
get it, Democrat,
liberal, yeah, okay. Yeah. Just play music, like, shut up. You're like, but the same way, it's like, just wrestle, just wrestle, shut up. Like,
you know, it's funny, Bret Hart was in a lot of really good matches and, like, had a lot of cool moments. You never hear him talk about those.
No.
It's always about, well, it was one time in Boston.
Goldberg kicked me.
Vince owed me $1,500. He only gave me $20. It's like, Jesus
Christ. Yeah, you never. Now that I think about it, I don't know that I've ever watched an interview like they were talking about his match. He probably was mad that he went into the Hall of Fame for the first match and it wasn't going to the Hall of Fame for the shittiest moment that ever happened or something.
Well, yeah, he really went to the Hall of Fame. The Montreal Screwjob should go in the Hall of Fame. So
that match, Deckham, that match should go in there.
Yeah, I think Brett, I get what you mean about being grateful and this and that, but, you know, I get it. But also, come on, dude. Like, it makes it really hard to like him.
When he's just bitching.
Because he's just constantly, like, yeah. Like I said, it's like Dave Mustaine with Megadeth. Like, he's like, Metallica fired me. And it's like, okay. All right, dude, now you have your own band and it's huge and people love you.
Yeah.
And show up.
When there's several people who've been fucking fired from bands and going to do the same thing and they're like, you know, them firing me was the greatest thing they could have done and I understand why they did. You know what I mean? Like, they don't ever try to look from the other perspective at all. It's just, well, I got fucked.
And now he's still like, he won't let it go. And, like, you know what's funny? He'll do interviews with people and he'll bring it up. Like, they don't bring it up. Like, they're not like, what was it like getting fired from Metallica? Like, he'll just be like, like, someone will ask him a question, and he'll just tie it in and be like, well, you know, when I was fired from Metallica. He's just like, dude, we get it, okay? It's like being around a guy whose wife cheated on him 15 years ago. It's like, you remember what my wife cheated on me? Like, dude, we get it,
all right? It's like a yes man whenever he can't get over his fucking girlfriend or wife leaving him. Like, come on, Carl!
You're going to die alone in this apartment.
You're going to die alone. A very sad man, Carl.
Oh, yeah, I lost my phone. Oh, yeah? You're so full of shit.
There it is. I found it.
Dude, I don't know. It's just, it has been a rough week. But, you know, on the bright side, it brought us back together after our long feud, our month-long hiatus, you know.
It has been a minute.
Football luckily starts next month.
Oh, yes. And starting next Thursday, which next Thursday will be in Fort Smith, Arkansas, watching Volbeat.
What's next Thursday?
Next Thursday's it's the Hall of Fame game. I was gonna say technically from next Thursday there will be football on till February.
Trevor, do you think I watched the Hall of Fame game?
No, but it's like, listen, you know, we're not watching it fully, but you put on highlights and you're like, you get that itch, you know what I mean? You're like, all right.
No, it just makes me, like, long for real football.
Yeah, but you know it's like coming. Here's you can see it, you know what I mean? It's like walking outside, and you're like, there it is. It's not here yet, but hey, we're getting close.
I just look at that very differently.
It gives you hope.
Like everybody else
it gives
does.
Me hope, you know what I mean?
I hate preseason.
I mean, I don't like it either, and I prefer it just be football, but I'm like, at least there's something.
Yeah, and I get that, but I guess it's just like, fuck, dude, I just want the real thing, and the Hall of Fame game, I don't know, it's usually like, who are these people?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it definitely is, yeah, but like I said, it's on the horizon.
I am excited. It hasn't been too bad without it, you know what I mean? Like, it hasn't gotten to the point where I'm like, oh, I need it.
Yeah.
Because, like, but also, you know, with sports, like, I've been playing a lot of golf, so that's kind of, like, taken over my sports itch. So, you know, that helps. But, Trevor, live on the podcast, I was going to say, what if we put together, like, a War Room Aussie Memorial Party for the WRFL members and anyone else that wants to come over and we'll, like, have a cookout and fucking listen to Black Sabbath and Ozzy's music and you know, hang out and have a good time.
I'd be down for that for sure.
Well, that's not, you know, that's not as enthusiastic as I thought you were going to be.
No, I mean,
you know,
it sounds like,
that'd be great.
It sounds like a good time. We get the old man out of the slave fucking unit that your mom's running over there.
Yeah.
Set him free! We know you fucking took his phone. Listen, actually, what actually happened is
she fucking captured him.
We haven't heard from him in days.
She's got him chained to that fucking meat cutting station he's at and forcing him to listen to terrible music. That's what's happening.
It was hilarious when you're like, he actually likes Coldplay.
He loves Coldplay.
Or no, it wasn't Coldplay. It was U2. It was U2. Like, yeah.
You hear, like, muffled screaming from the background.
Yeah, that's what it
was. It was all yellow. Is that Coldplay? Yeah. Tom's listening to it. He loves it.
Look, he's singing.
He's humming. Look at the stars. Anyway, well, Trevor, we better call it a night.
Yep, it's been good. It's been fun. We're back. We'll be, whether it's there, here, we're going to start getting back into the groove. It's been a little bit of a gap, but football season.
We'll be in Rogers next week.
Hell yeah. Football season's upon us. Football, the WRFL will be returning soon. We'll have some preseason picks here in the next couple weeks, I would imagine. We got to assemble the group, see who we're... You're putting in, putting out. You know, I'm gonna bring. Also, this is when anybody has any rules that they'd like to submit, they bring in, and I'd like to officially try to ask the commissioner to consider that if anybody quits in this league, that's an automatic 1-year ban. I think that's a good rule that we should adopt. If anybody quits midseason, they can't play next year. Because I'm tired of quitters.
I mean, I think I kind of mentioned something like that because it's just like, dude, I don't want to like do this, like put all this effort into this fucking board and, you know, all that shit just for someone to quit like week two. It's just like, dude, like it's just funny. I love the excuses I've heard also. It's like, I didn't realize it was that long of a season. I'm like, how long have you been watching football?
I'm just really busy right now. I'm like, it's 10 minutes. Fucking... Get on your fucking phone.
Busy. What are you talking about?
At Wednesday, get on your phone Wednesday afternoon when you got some fucking free time and pick the games. It's not that fucking hard. Like, we do all the... You guys act like it's so hard to pick, and we're the ones that got to come up with all the fucking scoring and the double down and this and that and this and that. And then, you know, we got some people that are impatient and, you know, they're questioning the scores. Listen, we've become an established league at this point. So, listen, War Room members, you better take notice because this year we're not taking any shit. Okay, we're not listening to crying. We're not listening to somebody crying because they're in fifth place the whole fucking year, and then they happen to get in, and then they fucking run the table, and then we're not gonna do it. We're not gonna do it.
Also, I don't want to hear people crying about, like, how little points they've scored when they won't double down. They're playing it safe, quote-unquote, and then, like, it's the end of the season, and it's like, oh, I don't know what to do.
All right, or I don't want to, you know, not to mention anyone specific who actually started the double-down fuckfest in the first year of the fucking college football one, and then now gets mad when everybody doubles down, and I'm like, well, you started it. You did it. You did every game one time. Every game.
Yeah, no one's saying you can't. Like, do it, all right? I'm not making it a rule.
It'll fuck you at some point, you know what I mean? Like, you know that that's going to happen. Like, hey, it can be good for a couple weeks, but, you know, you end up with a negative 20.
I'm surprised with how many perfect weeks we had last year.
Yeah, well, that was crazy. We had, like, we had that one, I think, or we had one week that people had two and there was three or something. Yeah.
Who won the NFL championship?
I think it was Trey.
No, I'm pretty sure it was me.
Was it? Who won?
It was me.
Oh, and so did Trey win college?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it was.
I won the, yeah, because I remember.
It was you. It was
both
a triple threat.
Championships, both of my championships have come off of Eagles Chiefs Super Bowls.
Oh yeah,
it was... and I picked the opposite teams each time to win. So, because I think it was me versus you, wasn't it?
It was me, you, and your mom. Because we tied.
That's right.
Because I got in off of some technicality, actually. I remember that because somebody dropped out in the playoffs.
That's right, Garrett. I think Garrett dropped out of the playoffs, and you got to get in over him because my dad didn't score enough points. Because whoever was going to miss the playoffs, we were off because we decided, like, whoever has the highest score out of the non-playoff people will get in, and Garrett's spot, and it was you by like a fucking tiny margin. A lot of parody happening last season.
Yeah,
made it very interesting. Like, and then also we had a couple of rookies winning their championships. We have who won the
Colton won the NBA.
I think
I won NCAA. Colton won NBA. I said I won NCAA, and then Colton won NBA.
Colton won NBA. Who won the NCAA football championship?
I won that one.
Who won the NCAA March Madness tournament?
Oh, hang on. No, Trey won football. I won college basketball.
Okay, I was going to say, because I thought Trey won in the NCAA, but Trey won the NCAA.
Oh, we know. And also, honestly, you know, we got to... We got to step up our game as the, you know, the runners of this group, because we were out in like week fucking one of the playoffs in fucking NCAA football.
Oh, well, I mean, those bowl games fucked my ass. those games treated me like a glory hole.
Oh, yeah. Well.
So, I don't know. I think it was a good year. You know, I'm clearly, as of right now, if everyone was to retire, I'd be the NFL WRFL GOAT because of I have multiple Super Bowl championships in 3 years, going for back-to-back this year, and I'm excited for it. You know, NCAA, I'm excited for it. I'm excited. Dude, the first day of college football, we got fucking Ohio State versus Texas.
Yep.
We got fucking, I don't know any of the other ones. There's some good ones, though. I think LSU's playing, who are they playing? Are they playing Clemson?
Hang on a second. I should pull up the fucking schedule.
Anyway, there's a lot of really good games to start off. I think Georgia and Alabama are playing week one or something.
Yep. I'm also interested in Notre Dame versus Miami. TCU North Carolina. That's an interesting game with Billy Belichick. LSU Clemson. Yep, that's a banger. Yeah, I'm definitely excited for it. Alabama Florida State. You know, is Florida State, are they going to lose 10 games again?
Damn, dude. Well, Florida State usually does good week one.
Did they win last year and then lose like 8 straight or something?
Yeah, well, they beat LSU week one.
Okay, that's what it was. And then they lost like 8 straight after that.
Dude, last year they played Georgia Tech week one. And they lost. And then they lost like, they started.
Oh, yeah, because it was in fucking Ireland or some shit, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, wait. Because week zero, they played Georgia Tech in Ireland. And
yeah.
Did they play LSU the next week, win, and then lose 8 straight? Was that what it was?
I can't remember.
Who gives a fuck? It's in the past. The past don't matter. All that matters is here right now in the future. You understand me? So who gives a fuck? Let's wrap this thing up before both of our women start trying to hit us in the head with a frying pan for being away too long.
I feel that. All right. good night. We'll talk to you soon. We're going to leave you with a little bit of Over the Mountain.
Hell yeah. Love you guys.